Scott Wells, the Magic Word Podcast, and today is John Starr's birthday, and so we're having lunch with John, and we were just starting to talk about your experience in England at working man's clubs. Tell me something more about that.
Okay, working men's clubs were exactly what it says, is you would have coal miners, steel workers, and really workers without very much money would come along for a Saturday night do. And they would have a raffle halfway through the show, which would be like a leg of pork or a chicken for the next day's dinner, because it all was out on a Saturday night. And you would have a girl singer, a band, and a magician. The last thing they wanted to know about was the magician, because they just wanted to make sure they had the tickets when the raffle was drawn for their leg of pork or lamb or beef. And I worked with some very, very good magicians and comedians. Terry Seabrook actually got me into the whole lineup. And it was just a lot of fun. The last thing they wanted to see, really, was a magician prior to the interval, because in the interval they would draw the ticket for the leg of pork or the leg of lamb or the chicken. That's all they came
and
for.
And then they were gone. Once they had the drawing, they were done after the interval?
Oh, well, they wanted to go, but they were too drunk.
Oh, okay.
Because they'd been drinking for 3 hours
at
that point.
So then by the time the magician came on, they'd just throw stuff at you?
Or what? Oh, they just didn't like you.
They'd hoot and holler and everything.
Yeah.
Yell at you?
Anything to throw you off. And that's where I learned to deal with hecklers.
What's some of your best heckler lines you use?
One of the best heckler lines I used was, I don't know why you're shouting at me, son, because I'm a professional like your mother was. And that used to quieten things down.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, move it down the notch or so.
Yeah.
And so, do they still have working man clubs?
No, they don't anymore.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was in the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it was a lot of fun.
No, is that different from a pub? Did you actually have to belong to that? Is that kind of
yeah,
like a conservative club?
Yeah, you joined
it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It was exactly the same as a conservative club.
Okay, yeah, I've been to Terry's club before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conservative.
And the last thing, they only went in actually to try and win this leg of pork for the
yeah.
Sunday.
Right.
And also you had to have a girl singer with big breasts and long legs and be attractive. Then
yeah.
they'd want to know about it. And the
yeah.
comedian would come on and he would actually crucify the audience. And then I went on and I would carry on where he left off.
So they really would make fun of him. In other words, the comedian, I guess, in order to keep up with the audience, would kind of make fun of him and heckle. I mean, he'd heckle back, I guess.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So
yeah.
That was kind of what they did. Because, you know, I always thought the Terry Seabrook style was different from us in the U.S. because his style was more of not making fun of, but I don't know how to...
Just nailing people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Which was different than what we do
yeah.
in the U.S., you know. So a little bit more of a hard style.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was
but
heavy.
But it was based upon the working man's club that you had to do that
yeah.
kind of style.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Okay.
And you know, when you go into those clubs,
Dr. Pepper.
You could feel the tension anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the last thing they wanted to see was you.
Yes. Yeah,
they wanted
in.
The girl singer with big bust
mm-hmm.
and long legs.
Yes. And then the leg of pork and
yeah.
the leg of the girl. That was pretty much all there.
Yeah,
there
in the raffle,
for.
Yeah.
okay, gotcha. So again, today's your birthday. So how old are you today?
27.
27 and going on 26.
Yes, I'm going back down now.
Yeah, it's working back way back down.
Yes.
That's great. Alrighty, well, I just thought that was kind of interesting about the working man club. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get your take on that. So,
and it was really cheap to get in. It would be something like, I suppose, $2.
Oh, okay, and that included your raffle ticket too?
Yeah, and your raffle ticket.
Now, how many people would...
You'd have about 150.
Now, did you do... So I think I remember Terry saying you do, like, a couple of these a night.
Oh, yeah.
You drive one to the next?
He and I had the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he would phone up halfway... You know, before I went on, my agent would phone up and say, by the way, when you finish your spot, get down onto this club in Wales, which was about 120 miles away. So you'd arrive there about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And they were still there.
And they're still there?
They were still there.
And they're waiting for you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was crazy.
Wow.
We had the same agent.
Yeah.
A guy called Johnny Laycock. And he was just notarized through the whole of show business in England.
Yeah.
Johnny Laycock. Gone through Johnny Laycock. Oh, God, no, have you? You know, either you wouldn't get your money in time, or he'd send you another 200 miles on.
To the next one.
To the next one.
Yeah, wow. Now, was this back when Terry was just starting as a full-time? Because he was an insurance salesman for
a
while.
No, Terry was top of the league then. He was probably the finest comedy magician in England, without a doubt.
And that includes Billy McCombe? Because
Billy McCombe and he were like in harness together.
Yeah.
And some of the stories, I couldn't repeat them on here for you, but some of the stories of those two as they went around America and wherever they went, cruises.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned a lot from Terry. Terry really looked after me very well and got me into the right places at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped my career really 100%.
Wow.
He was a great friend, funny man, and didn't ever want you to thank him.
Right.
He would give me his books when they were going out into print, and he would give me the books.
Yeah.
He and Billy got me into the Magic Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the rest is history.
Now, what about Tommy Cooper? Of course, not
Tommy Cooper was just... he was an alcoholic.
Hmm.
I did some shows with Tommy, and the problem was with Tommy was when you walked into the dressing room that night, you didn't know what Tommy you were going to face.
Okay.
It would either be Tommy that wants to commit suicide on the spot, or he would just be totally lotto with drink.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. But
that wasn't the side that the public saw. They always saw the comedy, funny part.
Tommy would do the second half. I would do the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy would do the second half with like about 750 to 1,000 audience. And the one thing you had to know was what Tommy you were going to deal with.
Every night.
He was either the Tommy that was suicidal with drink, or the Tommy that was just doing gags.
Right.
And that was the difficulty.
Huh.
Because you're walking out onto a platform where no one wants to see you because they're just waiting for the second half.
Right.
Which is Tommy.
Right.
Because the man was a genius.
Mm-hmm. A genius in
comedian,
comedy writer?
Just a comedy magician.
Mm-hmm.
And
how would you define a comedy magician as opposed to a magician?
I would say
the tricks are funny, or what he says is funny?
Well, what he would say was funny. And also, he would do the three cups.
Cups and balls?
No, the cups on the glass.
Oh, okay, on the glasses, okay.
You know? And he was drunk. But the weird thing was, in the interval between me finishing my spot, you would have a 20-minute interval while people would go and get drinks, because that's where the money was
making
being.
Money, sure.
Yeah. Then you would have a little swing gate about 3 foot by 4 foot in the middle of the stage.
Yeah.
And you could hear, as the lights dimmed, you could hear the laughter starting. He hadn't even appeared.
Before he showed up, people were laughing.
And people were giggling.
Wow.
Yeah, in anticipation of Tommy Cooper coming on. And he used to come out with his fez on.
Yeah.
And there was a swing gate, and he would always, and it was about 6 feet one way, and 2 feet high, but you'd have a little bush, plastic bush, either side, and he would go through the bush, and he'd stop, and he'd go along, and he'd go through the gate.
Okay.
And then
people would just crack up.
They were already cracking up. Yeah. As the lights dimmed, they would start to laugh.
Now, I know this was a different time from Paul Daniels, but how would you compare him with the comedy of Paul Daniels and his success?
Paul Daniels was a much better magician. Mm-hmm. Tommy Cooper was a clown.
Okay.
A magical clown.
Good. Okay, good.
Very good at it. I mean, just killed everywhere he went. And but Paul Daniels was an excellent magician, as he still is now.
Yeah.
And I worked with Paul two or three times. Very good magician. Excellent magician.
Yeah. He had a good following also.
And he was massive.
Funny, yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. And then, of course, Ali Bongo was more of a consultant.
He was a mentor.
Yeah.
He was Paul Daniels' mentor.
Ali Bongo was Paul's mentor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was, he gave the BBC all the ideas for Paul Daniels to do.
Hmm.
And that was how it all
Yeah, because I know he'd worked with him, and then there was
Ali Bongo.
Yeah. But yeah. Ali had also worked with David Nixon.
David Nixon.
He was
now, Ali Bongo was David Nixon's right-hand man.
That was the guy I was thinking he was most associated with, closest. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the start of real magic being appreciated in England.
That would have been the 50s, 60s?
Late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, yeah. It was still black and white TV back then.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever work with David Nixon?
No, I met him a few times.
Would you say he was in the same category, magician, magic-wise, as Paul Daniels?
I think Paul Daniels is probably one of the best magicians England ever had.
Let's go on to another comedian. What about our friend, my mind just completely, Wayne Dobson?
Wayne is tremendous, because he has a great mind.
Yeah, a great comedic mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everything he says is funny.
Yeah, and when you... If you buy any of the effects that he sells, it's a great effect.
Yeah.
It's not even hard. It's not.
It's all presentation.
Oh, absolutely.
And scripting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fantastic. That's a nice little jaunt down the British path.
Yeah.
Some of the history of the magicians in that area. Any others that come to mind offhand?
And Wayne was his nurse. Wayne Dobson
was
married his nurse.
Married his nurse.
Yeah.
He's still married to her?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they have a son.
Interesting.
I was working in a place called Dakota's in the south of England, and Wayne lived about 10 miles away from me.
Yeah.
The bar was the fuselage of a Dakota aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the two engines in the place.
In the place, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he came in one night with her, and he said, do some stuff for a bridge jump. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, but half the stuff I do is yours.
It's your stuff, yeah.
He said, it doesn't matter. She loves magic. That was it. Yeah, she was a lovely girl. She is a lovely girl.
It's funny, most people that we're talking about are all comedians, but I know there have been some other illusionists as well. Of course, the mentalists like David Berglas and others over there. But I'm trying to think who was working at the Magic of the Seven Dials. Who was an illusionist? He used to be a popular illusionist, too.
Didn't John Northrop Hilliard also work?
John Northrop Hilliard was
Scottish.
Scottish,
but
yeah.
But didn't he also work on the whole UK?
He was the Wizard of the North. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was...
We worked all over the UK.
That predates your time.
Yeah.
Certainly.
But he was a legend,
younger.
Right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Cooper, I suppose, really was... Tommy Cooper was the 100% clown with magic. And when he did the last
Yeah.
Lasca. Mm-hmm. In our old age.
Oh. It was all funny. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. But you never knew what guy you were going to... I mean, I walked into a dressing room and he wants to commit suicide. Mm. And I've come in another dressing room with him another time and he's just waiting to get out.
Yeah.
He was he used to be a guardsman.
You mean like a royal guardsman?
Royal guardsman.
Wow.
With the box. You know
the
box.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you stand there with the hat and the...
Yeah. Mm. And this particular night, he had been at the source a little bit.
Yeah.
And every 4 hours, they would have the colonel would take round a major to make sure everybody was doing what they should do.
Right.
In the sentry boxes. Cooper, however, was very awake. So he would shut his eyes, and when the major was brought by the corporal, check the boxes, sentry boxes.
Right.
He would stay there with his eyes shut, and he'd say, "Thank you, God."
You say my prayer. Okay.
So he'd move on.
Okay.
Because if he'd have caught him awake in the sentry boxes, big problem.
Caught him awake or even sleeping?
Yeah.
If they caught him awake?
If they caught him awake, yeah.
I don't get it.
But no, okay. If they caught him, caught him sleeping.
Kind of sleeping, yeah. Yeah, so that's why...
Then he would say...
Amen.
He'd be...
It's like praying, yeah.
Amen. And then moved on with the major.
Yeah. All right, well... we probably need to eat since we're done. By the way, just real quickly, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. John Starr, what is your magic word? What's your philosophy of life? What do you live by? What's important to you? It could be a slogan or a phrase, not necessarily just a word.
I live to enjoy myself.
Enjoy yourself.
And if in the job I'm in, I get paid to enjoy myself. Nothing gets better than being paid to enjoy yourself.
So your philosophy be enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
That all can be said. Good enough. I love it. Thank you.
Remember Wayne Dobson's quote?
What was Wayne's?
Laughter is the best medicine unless you're diabetic.
Unless you're diabetic. Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. That was Gene Protis, by the way, over there just chiming in as well. Thank you very much, Sean, and happy birthday then to you.
Thank you.
Okay. And for the magic word, it's Scotty Allen.